Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Table launched into a discussion I'm always happy to have over dinner. We talked about liturgy, theology, and church history. Needless to say, I was in my element. The woman to my left made an impassioned plea. The liturgy is not meant simply to be entertaining. We don't go searching after the newest rock band service to make it relevant. No, we enter into the liturgy that has been handed on to us. She went on. For 1 hour on Sunday, we slow down. We take a deep breath. We put ourselves before the mystery. We put God first. I know that most of you are very busy people. The copious demands of work, family, volunteering, finances, caring for loved ones, eating your vegetables, all of this can quickly become the source of exhaustion. Making it to worship on Sunday can often feel like you pulled off a small miracle. Taking an hour to slow down, to unplug, to breathe, and to put God first is challenging in the world we've created for one another. One of the great gifts of the church's liturgy in our culture is that it happens with predictable regularity, and it's not reinventing itself every 2 weeks. It's reliable. It's being celebrated the world over this Sunday, and so it will always be. No matter where we are in life, no matter what will come, great joy and deep pain, the church's liturgy will be there for us, like it's been for those who've gone before and those who will carry on after us. Now, granted, the assurance, at least in the West, that those who go after us will go to church is anything but guaranteed. Roughly a third of adults, one-third of adults under the age of 30, identify as nuns. And by that, I'm not talking about the convent. These nuns claim to have no religious affiliation. It seems that there used to be a cultural norm. If you didn't go to church, you felt a little guilty about it, and you would likely return when you had children, got married, or some other pivotal event in life. This doesn't seem to be the case so much anymore. And what about our fear that our children or grandchildren will not attend the liturgy of the church when they leave home? Not to mention when they're still home. Are they going to add to the fastest growing religious statistic of the nuns? Well, we're all here this morning, the week of Thanksgiving, at the Eucharist, so this is a live question for us, isn't it? We care about the answer in different ways. And let me suggest that the best way we can respond is not with anxiety that the church is shrinking and that the culture is going to the dogs. The best way to respond is to receive what the church asks us to contemplate today, that God's reign, God's rule, they've shown up in Christ, and it looks like God laying down his life in service to the whole world. If we contemplate this truth, if we allow it to give shape and meaning to our lives, then Jesus will not be some obscure and distant figure of the past, but a living reality in our midst. We'll know him as the image of the invisible God. The attraction of our common life and service directed toward Christ will speak for itself to a busy and directionless world. If we can slow down, take a deep breath, and put ourselves before the mystery of love made flesh, then our lives will radiate with the joy of God having first place in everything. And putting this God first, the God revealed on the cross, the God forgiving a criminal, means that we follow in the way of pouring out our lives for the sake of the world. Coming to church is not about learning to be well-behaved or being good little individual Christians. It's about traveling in the way of the cross together and learning that this is the way God has turned the world upside down and established his reign on earth. If this reign and this kingship seem far off or distant to us, the invitation is always to draw near. As we come to the end of the church year and begin anew next week with a season of Advent, a season of expectation, the church gifts us with the space to slow down and to take stock of where we are, to examine where we put our trust. And this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, launches us into Advent with crucial questions. How is God's cross-shaped reign coming through in our life, in our relationships, in our community? What is holding us back? What a gift that we can come together each Sunday and be met right where we are by Christ in the sacrament of his life poured out for the life of the world. With regularity, he draws near to us, inviting us into his life, into his joy, into his reign of compassion and service. Contemplate these mysteries that our liturgy puts before us in word and sacrament, God pouring out his life so that we can share in it. Allow them to slow us down and give us direction in our fast-paced, directionless world. If we can make space for this in our lives, the world will see that things which had grown old are being made new. The light of a new dawn is breaking through. A new reign has been established for you, for me, for Isa Abdul Rahim, for the life of the world. The woman at dinner had it right. Take a deep breath, slow down, put yourself before the mystery, and allow God to be first place in everything. The liturgy gifts us, so that we can be a gift to the world. Amen.